Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's End. Yes, Davin's End, the show that is better than the media dumpster diving in your social media.
Better than that. Yes.
The number to call in should you choose, 845-986-8804. 845-986-8804 while we are live on Tuesday nights. You can join in our chat room, The Den Pen, by going to davinsden.com and clicking chat and listen live. Or if you're listening on one of our awesome affiliates, simply open up a new window in your browser, type in davincomedy.com, go to the Davin's Den page on the bottom, click on that, and then click chat and go.
Chat and go.
I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I am joined by Pip Helix.
Hi, everybody.
And I'm probably about to knock over my kid's toy, making his way through the studio, the one, the only, the primate of the show.
Right on time.
No, you were early. Joe Curry. Now you're on time, stupid. You arrive at the buzzer and you still screw things up.
What are you talking about?
Well, now you're talking to the microphone. Well, I had to announce you. Then you say right on time.
Okay.
You would have had a couple more seconds. I was building up so you could settle down. You jumped the gun.
Oh, okay.
Joe, you smell like Lemon Pledge. Why is that?
It was time for a shower.
Oh, it's the new hand soap Davin's wife's got. She's got the best hand soap. She really does.
I know.
How do you know I'm not picking the hand soap?
Really?
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 It makes my ball smell nice. Have a sniff.
How come I haven't been smelling Pledge the whole time?
Because Joe waves his hands around. I don't wave my balls around, but I can. I'm happy to.
You do. I try to avoid talking about it.
Well, listen. Come. They are wafting.
Come. Meet the balls. Smell their lemony essence.
One is Lemon Pledge. One is Lemon Verbena. It's nice.
It's subtle.
It is. I encourage all to bask in my balls.
Basketballs.
They are basketballs. Thank you, Joe. Yes.
Basking balls. Yes. Oh, jeez.
On tonight's show, we do some comics in the news as Jon Stewart's replacement for The Daily Show has been in the eye of controversy. And a sort of a known comic makes fun of a unknown comic on their Comedy Central special. Plus Sickly Sue and Ann Jackson. Last time Sickly Sue was healthy. But.
Yeah, she was. She was holding it together.
Think of that, yes.
It's always good when people are healthy.
Yes, it's very good. We got through the cutting stuff.
What?
We get through the cutting stuff. Sickly Sue is nice. It's nice that people are healthy. Good. It's more like a mahjong table than a show. Do you know my son graduated with honors from school?
What a nice boy.
Very nice. He's going to be graduating from Yale school.
Very nice. Really?
The king and the queen. Thank you so much.
Why would you assist with that?
I don't know.
Okay. He was drowning. It was fun to watch him flail. But, you know, you threw him a lifesaver. You know what all you did? You sunk a little quicker.
Yeah.
That's all you did.
I just like to have company in the barrel.
Yeah, but, you know, Joe can actually bail you out sometimes.
Yeah, he does.
You were incapable of bailing Joe out of that.
No, I didn't know.
No, you made it worse.
I wasn't really trying. I was kind of enjoying the, you know, the mahjong
you
table.
You
got to laugh at a mahjong table.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't.
And you know what? I know so many people like that. I just kind of fell right in lockstep with you.
Of course, because it was funny. All right.
Okay.
Tavon's like, I'm losing control so early.
We've lowered the bar of what funny is. Apparently, mahjong tables are funny. All right, good. We'll talk about the green room for 3 hours and call it a night. Right on target for Joe. See, now that's funny because it got a laugh.
Well, you know why.
We talk about things we won't do, and the, you know
what? We're doing it.
All right, now to include everybody else in the show, now that we've entertained ourselves, maybe.
And I'm so glad that I brought up what things smell like on the radio.
That was the highlight.
Yeah, I can really take a lot of the blame for this, you know? I'm just working with what I was given.
You've been doing it for years. I guess if it's graded on that scale, good job, Joe. You were not given much, and still you walk upright. Good job, Joe. We're proud of you.
Until you walk upright.
Joe's the second from the right on the evolution chart.
I was watching a film strip in high school one time. That's how old I
was. It really wasn't
strip.
Supposed
a movie.
To be a flash.
No.
That might dig at you.
But there was this cave, and this is when I had hair and a beard and stuff like that.
You used
that.
To have a lot of hair.
I had a lot of hair, and I had a big beard, and we're watching a movie about cavemen.
You were ISIS.
Yeah. And this caveman comes out of his cave, and he is the splitting image of me. And I caught it first, and I'm like, if anybody else starts noticing that this caveman looks like me, I am so screwed.
Here's the difference between that caveman and you. That caveman went on to do Geico commercials and has better TV credits than you.
But it was, and then one by one, people were looking, and
they started to avert their gaze to you.
Yeah, and they started, and Joe's girl was sitting next to me and looked at me and kind of laughed, and I'm like, this is heading close to home. And this one guy jumps up and goes, "That caveman looks like Joe Curry," and everybody started
laughing. Was he black?
Because
that voice was okay.
He looked like Joe Curry, and everybody started laughing, and I was so embarrassed because I was the one that caught it first.
Well, what can you do? You know, it's not like you could shave on the spot.
Yeah, he looked just like me. I'm like, uh-oh.
I know.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, but he evolved.
Yeah.
Right. Let's talk about tonight's show. Well,
his knuckles are nice and smooth, I'll have you know.
Mine? Really? Yes. Look, I got hair on my knuckle. I got woof-woof knuckles.
That's from chronic masturbation.
Yeah, but you know,
they go from the palm to
the
knuckles.
Well, I guess I'll have to take the hair.
You don't have rug burn is where I was going.
I got you. I'm with you now.
No, you're on your own.
You won't accept me into
your
fold?
No, I will not. Not after that Mahjong expose. Usually I take you, all right, Joe, hop on, we'll leave Pip in the dust. But no, you two deserve each other.
I got no place to go.
Look, maybe we can put an addition on the barrel.
Yeah.
That would be double barrel.
Wait, guys, there's a guy. Who's the guy in the barrel? He's doing an estimate.
We're going to need a bigger barrel.
He's doing the tape measure.
We are going to need a bigger barrel.
Oh, that's
we
funny.
We usually do.
That's
yeah,
funny.
I have a feeling the child abuse week was going to be funnier than this week's show.
The child abuse week.
You were very dark and funny last week.
Because, you know, awful brings out the best in my humor.
Yet, never on the show, which by definition is awful.
No, it's not. It's not as awful as child abuse. That.
Well, we can take that.
All right. Yes. Should we put that in the press kit?
Actually, that's how we start.
Put
the
it
show.
Right under Kumi's ringing endorsement of the show.
A show that is better than child abuse.
Even I didn't do that last week. I didn't go there. But you did.
You. Yeah, yeah.
And people think you're the nice one.
I am, but it's how I cope with the awful of the world.
No, yeah. You're not.
I am evil. I am evil and angry, but it's like...
That's a good girl.
Most of the...
What are you, the camp counselor for the Hitler Youth? Set down!
Very good. Her to do very good. You go over by the jungle chimp.
I don't even know.
All right, enough. We're going to talk about other things. I can't. I won't.
You shouldn't.
I shan't! You have.
I'm done.
Yes. All right. So we started pitching a television show, which is based on our work fighting internet scammers and cybercrime. So I was supposed to pitch it to Oprah Winfrey's own network a few weeks ago, but they had to postpone it the last minute. Yeah. I didn't really get that, you know.
Happens. It happens.
Yeah, that's kind of what
business.
I took it. I'm
it's
like, you know what?
It is.
It's show business. Who am I?
Yeah.
It's
right.
Not like it's canceled. It's postponed.
Yeah. It's still cool. Still in a running. It's cool.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Fine.
It's good.
You know, you post it on Facebook, you think then it's for reals. But apparently some things on Facebook aren't always true. But you live and learn.
Your dentist doesn't cry when you cancel an appointment. You got to suck it up and just like
move
on.
The dentist charges $25.
I was thank you. Yeah. Yeah. That's why he doesn't cry. He's
yeah,
making
sending me a check and you get a check.
Stupid's not coming and I get $25 right on.
That's a win for the dentist.
Let your home, your stupid teeth rot.
Yes. So our meeting was scheduled for this past, Thursday at 10 a.m. Last minute, our manager, Roger, calls me and tells me it's now noon. All right. Not thrilled. Okay.
Yeah. Well,
you know, whatever. They're running late. They're in the Midwest on Chicago time. They might have gotten slowed down by an extra thick pizza. Who am I to judge?
They're not Irish. Why the hell have they, like, got their own time? I know they're in that time zone, but it's like, why would that
the
slow
Irish
them
have
down?
To do with this?
Oh, everything in Ireland runs on Irish time. It's slow. It's like Hawaii time. There's certain places in the world where it's like, you know, they are not exactly clock watchers.
I want to tell you that I love you. And I'll explain why. Because you went into that Irish time thing, and I opened up my Red Bull, and it made a noise, and stupid over here with bared his fangs and ready to sink in, and then he just stopped and went to you.
No. I know, yes.
I'll tell you why. I realized what was going on over there. I knew what that was. I'm used to that. You, it sounded like Pop Rocks. That you just like mix soda and pop. But I'm like, you know what? It's sort of off mic. Yeah. I'll get back to it. For a change, I'm going to be professional and not draw attention to it. But there you are, asshole. You drew attention to yourself. I was going to let it go. I was going to let her ramble. I was trying to be nice.
Let her ramble. Not her time to turn. Let her ramble.
This is what I get. I try to. This is why I can't be nice to you.
No, you can't. Why do you try? You're not very good at it.
I like failure. Clearly. clearly. All right. So 11:40 p.m. I get a.m. 11:40 a.m. on Thursday. I get a call from Roger's office. It's Roger's in the middle of the meeting right now. What?
Yeah.
Why is Roger in the middle of the meeting right now? I should be in the middle of the meeting, but it's not time yet. I was like,
it's not time. Time out.
Well, they called early. What could we do? Well, I don't know. You were going to conference me in before.
Yeah.
How about that?
How about pressing a button, stupid?
Yeah. How about please hold?
Yeah.
But apparently our management team doesn't have the holding type of clout. They could put us on hold.
You know what? Old management calls, yeah. And you're not going to go, you go hold on while I get, I think it's like, humming, all right, yes, hi.
Maybe he just wasn't really expecting them to call. He just kind of crapped his pants with excitement. They really got back to me.
God, I hope that's not it. I really hope that's not it. Because if so, we are doomed. And I've been thinking we're doomed anyway.
Yes, but that would really cap it off.
So, call me back. I'm still in the middle of the conference.
Really?
I am fuming.
Why? I'm still in the middle of the conference?
Yes.
Our conference.
Yeah. Call me back when I'm pitching
that's
your
show. It's like you're walking downstairs and it's Pip and I speak to us in a couple of minutes. We're doing a show here.
Well, we've already seen how that would turn out, so no. Mahjong and...
How's that Red Bull there, Joe?
Delicious.
That's nice. I have a coffee drink.
It's 5:30, so I need all the help I can get.
Okay, that's enough of the Joe and Pip show. Back to you.
God, you guys make me look good. So... We've all determined that if I could just get in one of these meetings, we'd get the show sold, whether it be radio or television.
Yeah.
Here's your brooms.
What?
You get the job. All right, you got it. Here's your brooms. Thank you, Davin.
How we're in radio and television.
I was in janitorial before.
I'll take the gig.
You don't have other options.
You were pitching until you were like, no, actually, it sounds good.
All right, am I really slow, or are you guys just talking to non sequiturs tonight?
I think that we're completely on a different planet than you, and I have no excuse why. I don't know. But I'm on this planet.
You know what I wish I had right now? A fucking Death Star to blow up that planet. I would blow your asses up like Alderaan, like Princess Leia's planet.
Don't blow up my ass. No.
Is the fish still going?
No, it's fine.
Oh, it healed up?
Good. Yeah, but it's like once is enough.
We're not doing a follow-up story on her ass, Joe.
But people are curious.
Nobody's curious. They weren't even curious when we were talking about it the first time.
I think they were.
No, I don't think they were curious. I don't think curious was the word.
Appalled?
That's a better one.
There you go.
Yeah. So anyway, I am fuming at Roger. So talk to Roger after the meeting's over, because I couldn't have contributed to
after
the pitch
the damage is
I
done.
Came up with.
Yeah.
The show.
That Pentagon. Right.
The whole pitch. Roger didn't really mold the pitch.
Right.
Roger really didn't shape the pitch. Roger really didn't have anything to do with the pitch. He might have forwarded an email that I sent him read the pitch.
Right.
Yeah,
Roger didn't really know. Well, all right, fine. Well, the good news is they want to do something.
See, it was good you weren't there.
it's better when I don't show up. So the Oprah Network wants to do something, which is pretty cool. They really like our idea. I guess Roger was pitching a bunch of shows. They picked three. But here's the unfortunate thing. Their production company, Harper Productions, that's pretty much shuttering.
I am shocked about that, though.
Why?
Because they had such immense success with Oprah's show.
Because it's Oprah.
I know. And she really, there are certain people that have a charisma and a talent for that kind of show that you can't just duplicate that person.
Her radio station failed on Sirius XM.
I know.
I mean, she made millions.
Well, the thing about it was Eric Logan, who used to be one of the guys at XM Radio, one of the head executives there, left to go with Harpo. You know, so it's like,
isn't he the bearer of good fortune?
Yeah,
well,
really.
He probably left some with some of that Oprah money, so he's probably doing well.
He'll be all right.
Yeah, he'll be just fine.
Do they always stick the severance packet under the chair?
Yes, that's what they do.
It's just their cute little way.
That's Oprah Winfrey. What, you never heard that?
No.
She did one of her shows when she was still on network television, and underneath every seat of the studio audience, there were keys to a car.
Oh, I remember she gave away the cars, yeah.
You get a car, and you get a car, and you get a car. Unfortunately, you had to pay taxes on the car, so people didn't want the car.
I want the car.
Yeah, but you have enough money to pay the taxes.
Yeah.
If you don't have the money for the taxes,
then sell the car.
I would think, but I don't know. I guess if you don't have enough money to pay the taxes, you're not really much of a forward thinker.
Right.
I don't know.
Right, but it's like, you're giving me a car. I'll figure it out. Thanks for the car.
But she's so happy, Oprah. Don't take this away from her. She's being generous. Everybody's getting cars, and you're saying no.
Yeah, it's like, no, Nick, I'll take the car.
I'll take the car.
Sure, you need another car to put your stuff in. Yeah. I understand.
I need another house.
So, anyway, yes, you do. So now we have to find a production company.
Yeah.
I guess it's called like a sizzle reel. They want to see like a certain element of the show. But Roger says he has connections with the production company. So I'll wait another 3 years for this to come to fruition.
At least it's rolling.
Well, I don't know if roll's the word.
But to get it to this point, I mean, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then we got to get with the production company. And hopefully the production company foots the bill. Roger tells me that's what the plan is.
Yeah, that's the plan.
Okay. Because what they're looking at is just like, what? Well, how are we going to do that?
Well, I told Roger, I go, well, we're going to need this. We're going to need lawyers. We're going to need that. We're going to need a lot of things.
Oh, yeah. Lawyers being the first one that I want to talk to.
I mean, there's going to be certain things we're going to need to get this off the ground. But that being said, if this does happen in the vision that they want, it will be must-see TV. There will be nothing like this scene. It's the type of thing where people are going to be tuning in. God, I wish I had that network. Well, you do. You just never got up that high.
Yeah, see us on channel 2014.
Hey, it's the White Show on OWN.
The White Show.
We're the tokens.
Yes. We're the minorities here.
Yeah,
they had an equal opportunity program. It's us.
So I got to get together with production. I got to write out how this show would go down. Yeah. Figuring got to get together with legal and everything.
Yeah.
Then you got, but I already gave them options. Roger asked me for some options to do what they wanted. I'm not revealing too much purposely because I don't know what's going to be. I don't want to say it's going to be this to the people and then it's not. So that's why I'm not saying what it is. But I already gave them options for the one aspect of the show that they wanted and Roger really liked, and a lot of diverse options for us to sink our teeth into.
Well, and also we have to be careful that Tom and Lisa don't take our ideas and run with it and go have their own show. Could happen.
Could. Okay. Anyway, so it also turns out National Geographic Channel might be interested.
And I know that channels don't stick with just what
their topic
sounds like it would be anymore, but that just sounds really odd. National Geographic.
Like we're going to be in a hut. Welcome to Davin's hut.
Well,
they don't stick to it anymore.
No, not anymore.
Roger, I guess, has a connection with the producers of Impractical Jokers on True TV.
Mm-hmm.
Which he thinks might be a good option for us to work with them.
That's cool.
Which could be. I mean, who knows?
Yeah, I mean.
I mean, I've been talking to Roger. I got to call him tonight at 11 o'clock because that's when you call Roger. You know, you make your first call at that time.
Joe's laughing knowingly.
Yes. But, I mean, you know, the pitch I've come up with, it's a pretty good pitch. So I'm not saying we're going to be with OWN. I don't know where we're going to be, what's going to be. But I think the potential is there for there to be something very positive. Yeah. I don't want to say in the next year because I really don't know how long these things to take. But I would imagine I'll be very deep working in this within the next several months. I would imagine within 6 months I'm going to be sitting down with people and getting this hammered out. And then it's just you got to get it you got to get it filmed. You got to get it edited. And then you got to show that.
Mm-hmm. God, that part is so rough because with my play, we're getting to the point now where we're going to film the monologue.
Oh, really?
And it's like when it comes to like writing music, writing a play, the show, blah, blah, I know what to do. It's like when it comes to the filming element, I took elements of film and acting school, and after that, I died.
Oh, I'm completely out of my depth.
Yeah, I know. It's scary because you don't, because there's a sense of like knowing a little bit about something. You get a sense of comfort where you know what you're doing, but then you get into this realm, and when it comes to filmmaking, God almighty.
Well, here's what I rely on, and I know I've blogged about it. I might have spoken about it because I was very adamant to Roger that we are not doing a copycat of something else that's out there. And yeah. Roger's like, well, you know, that's what television does. But I go, I know that, Roger. I know that's what the formula. Right. There's a hit show, and then there's a bunch of
also-rans, and we're not going to be an also-ran.
Exactly. No. We'll do that on our own original stuff. But I said to him, I said, listen, before I ever performed stand-up comedy, I just got on stage and I did it. I just trusted my instinct. Before I ever did radio, I just got on the air and did it. I did, you know, the Davin and Cisco show. Which, you know, was the first time I was hosting a show. Nobody told me how to host a show. I just did it. The first time we did Scammers, I just did it. I didn't know what it was going to be or anything. So I'm confident that I'll be able to follow my instincts and get my vision
out there. The scary part is like when you're working with a film crew and you deal with the film. So what do you want to do? Where do you want to point this and have the camera set? And where do you want your marks put? And it's like,
That's on the production.
That's the production scares me with this project.
I don't have to worry about that. I'm not assuming I don't have to worry. But what I do have to worry about is because the more people you bring in, so we're bringing an outside production company, right? Yeah. The more people you bring in, they have their own visions of what your vision should be.
I know.
Right.
So I'm willing to bend on some things. Like, I'm not really thrilled with the aspect that they want to show, but I get why they want
to
show it.
To move something forward, like the play that my partner Cammy and I are writing, we have it as a musical now, and we're going to be doing filming a monologue. And the thing about it is that we've been trying to move it forward. We kind of have some contacts, but we had a meeting last week, and we're probably going to be bringing some outside people in because we've come to, like I was saying, things I can do, and there's things I don't know.
Right.
And if you believe in a project and you love the project and you know the project's going to fly, sometimes you got to throw the reins to somebody else. You got to sit, have a meeting, see what their view is, and then give the reins to somebody else.
Well, it always scares me when I'm handing those reins over and the person next to me is Roger. That always scares me. But, you know, if what Roger's telling me is true, you know, hats off to Roger.
Yeah.
Because I had not been able to. This TV thing, that's him. You know, other people have talked to me about doing a TV show in loose regards, but more of a fictional type show based on some of the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been resistant to it because I'm like, you know, I really don't want to do TV. Right. I mean, there's a reason we don't have a video element to the show.
Right.
We kind of like being anonymous in that. Not that we're anonymous.
No, but in that respect, that it's not. I mean, like a lot of radio shows, we're looking at each other and you know, bouncing off each other. And I think, though, you know, there's not so much of the show that you're missing because of facial expressions or anything, because we explain to you what's going on. But
you miss Joe opening his Red Bull.
Right.
But it's not only that. You need somebody working a camera. You need a guy with experience running the camera and handling that element of it, because what happens is if we don't have that, it distracts from us doing what we're doing.
Well,
and that's kind of happened here when we tried it here, not so much at the compound, but here, you know.
No, it didn't work at the compound either.
But it worked better than it did here. I'm not discrediting either, but you need somebody.
I don't know if it did. I think we might have actually had more technical glitches at the compound, possibly because I couldn't fix it. We had to rely on somebody else. Either one was not optimal.
But when we did it here, we're kind of crammed together, and you know, it's like
I mean, it was more spacious at the compound.
I know, but I'm not saying that. It just wasn't the right fit at the time.
It's not the right fit now. Nobody wants to see us.
No.
There's no reason to see us, except if we're on TV. Then I guess you'll see us.
Yeah. Sorry.
but that's where we are with that. So I think in the coming months, there'll be more stuff to announce. I'm pretty confident. I also think there's possibilities of some radio things, not internet radio things, some other forms of radio because I'm told we now have a connection at a muckety muck with someplace a big wig. So we'll see. Who knows?
I love Muckety Mucks.
I think we're going on Muckety 4 years. I'm going on 4 years.
Was it? I was thinking about that the other day. Was four it 4 years?
Yeah. I started around this time a month or so ago in 2011, and you came aboard. In August.
In August of 2011.
Yeah.
Wow, 4 years. Wow.
And then how much?
Here we are.
And then how much longer were you guys doing your show before I came and guested? And
no, you
left?
Had guested within the first couple of months, and then we just added you probably October. November, we probably added you.
Okay, because I don't. Because exactly
you had filled in for Joe a couple times or something,
and then we did the show together, and it's like she's got to be part of us.
Yeah,
we're not sinking quickly enough on our own. let's add another anvil to this.
Bring old anchor.
And as I think we saw earlier, a wise decision.
Let's add another anvil. Let's add another anvil to this.
Joe is drowning over there. Pip grabs his little head and pushes down.
Oh, God. Let's add another anvil to this.
Our boat is not full of water yet.
Oh,
no.
That's funny.
If you were on the Titanic, you'd go, you know what? Give me a sledgehammer. I don't think that hole's big enough. Let's get this down a little quicker.
There's another iceberg over there. Why don't you head there? So there'll be two holes in the side.
Full speed ahead. Again.
But he wants just a hole on one side of the ship.
Don't be lazy about it. Hit another iceberg, stupid.
The ship will sink evenly.
Helix, the iceberg of internet radio.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Add that to the pitch meeting. That'll help.
Couldn't hoy.
Yeah.
All right. So, So later on Thursday, Roger gives me a call. He says, what are you doing tonight? I'm coaching my kid's softball team. Ah, could have gotten you in Atlantic City tonight. I'm like, really? Tonight's the night? Because I haven't been down in Atlantic City since Catch a Rising Star closed down there. I used to play them. They were at resorts. And so he wanted to know if I could go down to Atlantic City, and I would have, because as it is now, he can get me an audition, but this would have been a paid spot, and I wouldn't, because it's 3 hours away. I don't really, so I don't really need to feel like doing 6 hours round trip, but I will.
Right.
So, but I couldn't do it. So we played girls softball, first softball game. Got shellacked.
Really?
It wasn't even close.
Oh.
Was not even close.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Mm. The kids have fun?
Yeah.
That's all that counts.
Well, no. But yeah.
Well,
No, the kids are having a great time. I'm getting feedback from the parents, and the kids are having a good time. We just played a team. I don't want to say they cheated, but I would check their milk. There might be steroids in it.
Wait a minute. How did they allegedly cheat?
No, they didn't cheat. They were just better than us.
Oh, okay. Check their milk.
Like they put steroids in the milk. They didn't cheat. Yeah. They were bad. They were good. A lot of them had been playing together for a long time.
Right.
So, but it's fine.
I think it's funny that he already is calling for a pee test at this level.
I'm not holding the stick.
Yeah. No. Cup. Don't get anywhere near that.
So I joked to a couple of the parents or the other managers. I go, I think the kids would have been better off if I went to Atlantic City.
Should have went. I told you.
Could have got you a gig.
Yeah, so that was not good. But we had our second game yesterday.
How'd that go?
We won!
Yay!
That's nice.
That is nice. So I am now 500 as a girls softball little league manager. But this is the first time I've managed since I managed in the Jewish league with the adults.
Right.
And I was getting fights with teammates.
Yeah.
So it's been a while.
So you've been dusting it up with the kids?
I can totally take the kids. I can totally take my teammates. I'll tell you what, the kids a little tougher. A little tougher than grown Jewish men. Kids could take a wallop.
You know, I agree. I believe that. Well, they bounce back so much easier. There's not as much brittleness.
Yeah.
They're more flexible.
Exactly. And the bruising, you blame mommy or daddy. Yeah. Let family services take care of that. That's not my problem.
Wow.
No, but my daughter would not use. We bought her a new bat, which was a mistake.
Was that the bat from last year?
No, that was the new bat last year. We got her another net bat this year. She's got two bats.
Okay,
but this year it was a little heavy, and she's like, "I want to use this bat. I want to use it." You're not hit with the bat. You're striking out. You're embarrassing the whole family.
Oh boy!
I didn't say it like that.
Yeah, please.
I just said her mother's half of the family. No, I didn't.
Hey, way to go, sports dad.
Well, if it was too heavy, didn't you tell her it was too heavy when you were buying it? When you were
I didn't know because I didn't have the other bat to compare it to.
Oh, I got
it.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
now
yeah,
when
yeah.
you see it, her bat's a lot slower, and it kind of has a loop in it, and she's striking out. So finally, at the end of the first game, her mother and I forced her to use the other bat.
Right.
Since she's used her old bat, the bat from last year,
yeah.
she's 4 for 5. Use the bat, stupid.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. So grow into the other bat.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or not. I mean, I never grew into my big boy bat.
Really?
So, no.
You got to get her doing pull-ups.
Yeah.
More upper body strength.
No, but you know what? The kids were happy. They got to win. The weird thing is, like, I can't tell them. I mean, I tell them if they ask me for winning or losing, but I tell them not to worry about the score or anything because I don't want them to worry about it, but I want them to know when they win or lose because I think that's important. But me, I'm like, hell yeah, we won. It's all about the W's for me. So it's like weird. Like, I'm balancing. It's really hard because I know who the best kids on the team are at this point. And I know if I put these kids in the same positions all the time, we're going to win more.
Yeah.
But I also know that's not really cool to do. It's instructional. So I rotate. I put all the kids in all the positions and everything. So it's like my regular me says, do everything you can to win except cheat. But, you know, parent me goes, you know what? You can't do that. So.
And you got
to
go with parent.
Yeah, you got to get the sucky kid off the bench every once in a while.
Nobody plays the bench. Yeah. We got 10 kids, so they're all in the field. Nobody's on the bench.
Okay.
I wrote them.
And the idea is just to have them grow the love of the game. You know, grow.
And they do. They love the game. They're looking forward to it and everything.
Yeah.
That's really – so, I you know, here's the weird thing, though. I'm not used to adults calling me coach.
Yeah, that must be disarming.
No, it's cool, but I'm just like, hey, good game, coach. I'm like, I really didn't do shit, but okay.
Yeah, but that can't be any more alarming than having the first time somebody called you dad. That must have scared the crap out of you.
Well, by the time that happened, I'd already had her for a few years, so I was able to grasp that concept, Pip.
Right. Oh, okay. But this new coach thing is like, what?
It's a couple weeks.
That's a very adulty sounding.
It's adulty sound.
I just, you know, it's a good job, coach. And, you know, meanwhile, you were making sure everybody's Hello Kitty purse was under the bench. You know? And I'm not damning you. I mean, the little girl, you got, you know, you go, all right, girls, make sure you don't trip over your Hello Kitty purse.
The little girls are just like a grown man. The vices are dead. The little girls from the first inning, when do we have snack? Because they get it like a treat at the end of the game. And when I play with men, when are we drinking? It's the same.
But you want to know something? You want to know something? I just think the way, with everything we have to deal with in the world, the real world, the regular world, just to, you know, be coaching your daughter's team, you know, it must be adorable. You know,
it's cool.
I'm serious.
It's
too.
Cool. But here's the thing. Now I'm in coach mode, like when I used to manage the softball. So I'm thinking, I'm not sleeping at night. Well, if I hit this one here and I hit that one there, because I'm trying to bunch our hits, because I know
you
I know.
You can't sit there and act like you're running on Diamo. You got to, you know.
No.
Yes.
I am bunching my hitters. The ones I can get. That's the one thing I can do. That's the one I can put all the best hitters together.
Right.
That's
right.
The one thing I can do.
Yeah.
Right.
And then, you know, and then the rest, you know, I make sure all the kids get to play infield and outfield throughout the course of the game so nobody feels like, you know, they're just hanging out.
That. Cool.
Right.
Yeah. Because at that level, you're not really hitting it to the outfield. It's not really going.
No, you're just getting used to everything and, you know, it's getting used to the love of the game.
Yeah. So, I mean, at that level, basically the pitcher and the catcher are the one who are most involved in the game. Maybe a first baseman if we're lucky.
So there's nothing on the tee? The ball's not on the tee?
No, this is pitching.
Okay, good.
So
good,
the kids
good.
Pitch, and then after a certain amount of pitches, if it's not strikes, then the parents come in, the coaches come in to pitch. But no, they are pitching. My daughter is pitching, and another girl is pitching. They wanted to pitch. And then I rotate other kids in to give them a chance. And then today I just found out a third girl wants to pitch. So I told the parents, I go, because there's a clinic now they're going to take on Sundays, and my daughter had taken some. And this other girl will take it. So I'm like, if they're going to put that extra effort in that they want to pitch, I'm going to reward it and make sure they get on
the
mat.
If they're going to the clinic, yeah, that means that they really are into this.
Not the type of clinic we would go to.
No,
different type of clinic.
That's a free one.
Yeah. But, So on Saturday, I did my first softball-y thing of the season. I got together with Walt, who's the owner of Jester's Comedy Club.
You're playing on the Jester's team, right?
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be Jester, but Walt's team.
Okay.
And Rich Schultes, who's another comic who lives up here. Hit some balls and everything, field and everything. Everything's good. Sunday, we go, you know what, let's get together. Let's go to the batting cages. All right, I haven't batted all year. Go to the batting cages. On the fifth friggin' swing, I pull something in my ribs. I don't know what the hell's going on.
Age.
Shut up, you.
Well, I don't like it either.
I really don't like it either.
I mean, because my wife's like, you didn't stretch. I'm like, I never stretched to go to the batting cages.
Well, maybe you need to now.
Thank you, Dr. Seuss.
Hey, I'm just telling you.
It sucks. Yeah. Now I have to live in fear of a sneeze.
Yeah.
I mean, and laughing hurts, so I don't have
one of your shows, that'll never happen.
Oh, well, you are in no danger.
Yes. Joe tried to get it in there quickly.
And now you ran for it to show buffer it as much as you can.
Absolutely, Joe. We'll be working together a lot lately.
I got filibustered.
Joe Joe, clear your schedule. The next 2 months till I heal, we'll be working together exclusively. I need that half an hour of peace and quiet so I don't hurt.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, it's like an old age thing.
Yeah.
It's just getting harder. Mm-hmm. And again, I've talked about, I don't feel old.
No.
But I swing and real, I mean, I kept on hitting. I didn't stop, but it's like, really?
Yeah.
Really? From swinging something I've done since I was five for 35 damn years?
Yeah, for 35 damn years. That's the problem. I went to the auto show last week. I walked around the whole day. I got home. I couldn't move. You know?
That's from walking?
And from walking.
You need to get comfortable shoes.
I had comfortable shoes.
No, but
now, orthopedic.
I have to get my orthopedics redone.
Yeah, you need to get your Nana shoes.
Yeah.
But next year, Joe will be with a walker. No, you know what? You'll be on one of those scooters. You're like, I'm not taking any more chances. You'll be in a fat person scooter.
Let me tell you something. I hope I have the genes that my brother does. My brother, 83 years old, he swims every morning. He does kettlebells for 45 minutes. He's still built like an ox. I hope I have that.
You're built like a jackass.
Yeah. All right. You don't try to go there. All right.
You won't, though, because you don't work out like that.
Hopefully the day will come.
You're going to start around 80? You figure that'll be the good time to start living that lifestyle?
I need to get back to the gym. I mean,
we have ways of incentivizing it.
Yeah, but we're not going to go back to those.
That's a shame.
All right. But, no, I've been wanting to get back to the gym. I missed the gym. The whole thing with the gym is the getting up. I don't want to go to the gym. Or, like, if you go before work or after work, it's like, you know, I'm tired. I can't go to the gym.
I haven't gone to my gym. Mm-hmm. I think we're going on 15, 16 months.
I'm going on six. But the whole thing is.
I walk, though. I walk around the complex, but it's far and there's heavy things
but
there.
But it's the whole. I know.
There are heavy,
you know, it's
things
like, I remember
there.
When they took me on a tour of the, you know, the gym. How do you like it? I go, it looks like work. You know, so it's like
I lifted here one day because I got weights and everything. It's just hard. You know what? I just don't have the free time I used to have.
I don't either. I don't.
And I'm not getting anything more accomplished, so I don't know what exactly is going on.
And I don't either. I don't know what we're doing.
I think we're working slower.
Yes.
It's age.
Yes, it's age. That's why we can't go to the gym. Physically, we could.
But the thing about it, the thing about the gym is when it's the whole process of going there.
Yeah.
The
that's
actual
why people
process
get home gyms.
Of get, I, yes. But the thing about it, even when you get there, because once you get on the equipment and you're there for the for 5 minutes, you go, it's pretty good, man. I'm glad I came.
Yeah.
No, it's worth the trip. But before then, 20 minutes before, they're like, I'd rather stick my balls in a tank of piranhas than go to the gym. You know, you have to force yourself to go there.
I'm picturing that.
The gym?
I'm actually considering just going
balls.
Back to video if we can see that.
Yeah. You're going to run to the fridge store. Give me 12 piranhas and a big tank.
What do they eat? Oh, anything. Good. I got the perfect thing.
Run it by the joint on Tuesday. Stupid's coming.
I won't feed him for a few days so they get a good taste. Make sure they're good and hungry. Can't have the audience waiting in anticipation for those balls.
You got to keep the show moving.
Joe, no lemon pledge for your balls. I don't think the piranhas will like that.
It puts them off their feed.
Sure. So what's going on with you, Miss Helix?
Well, I had an interesting ride out to Pennsylvania this weekend. I was on the New York Thruway, and you guys know I have an interesting bumper sticker, and it gets me attention sometimes. And it gets the attention.
I blow for tokens?
No, I don't want to identify my car. But I do.
Yeah, because the paparazzi's going to track you down. That's what you need to worry about.
No, but I
blow for tokens.
I blow for tokens. A couple of cars and I are passing this truck. And then all of a sudden I notice that the person in front of me is waving their hand like, hi, and I can't figure out who the hell they're waving at going 70 miles an hour on the New York Thruway.
Could be Tom.
So, could be.
Tom.
He's not in that line of work anymore.
I know. No, it wasn't the truck. It was the car in front of me. So I'm like, so I wave, and the person waves even harder. So I'm like, who the hell do I know that.
Maybe they wanted to see your tits?
Oh, well, I don't know. But, the person pulls over in front of the truck into the slow lane, and as I'm passing, of course, I have to look over and see who the hell is this and what was that about. And there's this guy who's a little bit older than me, and he's waving like hi, and I think, what a freak. And I go, oh, maybe it's about my bumper sticker, you know, it's like it brings out all the old hippies, you know. So I'm like, hi,
I got weed.
So
I don't bathe. What are you talking about?
I'm not going to say. But anyway.
No, enlighten us.
No, it attracts the old hippies.
It's so, not like they can look up the Pip Helix registration. I'm sure you're not the only one with that bumper sticker, although maybe you are.
I could be. I could be.
Was it custom made for you?
Yes.
Was it?
Yes.
Good God, why?
Yeah, I know. So I'm like, that's probably what it is. So I go ahead a little while, and then we end up passing each other a couple times. And he's waving, and I'm like, okay, you made your point.
Right, we get it.
He waved, and he gave me the peace sign, and I'm like, yeah, it's some old hippie guy. Okay, whatever. The next day, he starts blowing me kisses. I'm like, what the fuck is that? So I burst out laughing because this is so bizarre.
Well, because usually people usually chase you with pitchforks and torches.
Yes,
so
that's what I'm used to.
It's a change.
It's a preference. And so he's blowing me kisses. I'm like, what the hell is this? Who's playing these games on the middle of the
highway?
Who
is showing affection for me?
Then he pulls over into the slow lane, turns on his turn signal right as we're getting up to an exit, and starts beeping and honking at me and pointing like, pull over. Oh, hell no. I'm like, who does this? Who comes on to
murderers?
Random people on the highway? Who would, and worse still,
serial killers?
Who pulls over? Does this work for anybody?
They're good looking.
What's that?
They're good looking.
There was nothing so exceptional that I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm following this stranger off the highway.
Yeah, stranger, I'll follow you off the highway.
To see what happens.
Never to return.
Well, secondly, any weird dude is blowing me kisses. I'm married. I'm not buying what you're selling. But secondly, why would I follow this rando even if I was single? Creepy, right? 5 minutes later.
It's your story. You tell me, babe.
5 minutes later. I'm thinking, boy, is that weird. 5 minutes later, the traffic kind of dissipates a little bit. And there's one car up ahead of me. And as I'm catching up to the car, their license plate says macaroni. And I'm like, what the hell is this? So I got to see. So I come alongside and look over to see. It's a clown. I'm terrified of clowns. There's this guy in full clown face with red face. And
that's who's blowing kisses at you?
No. This is another thing. 5 minutes later, the crazy blowing kisses guy got off the highway, and I caught up with Macaroni in the clown face. I'm like, I am on an episode of The Twilight Zone. So the first thing I do is I call my husband. I'm like, tell me I'm not going nuts.
Pip Helix driving out to Pennsylvania when she meets a hippie in Macaroni the Clown.
Bail, baby. Bail.
In this
good
Twilight Zone.
It was just so bizarre.
You see, that was an honest attempt to save this. And he didn't push your head down.
Thank you. Well, like he usually does, but that's after the
show.
Well,
it's because his balls are lemony pledge. Yeah,
smell this.
Lemony balls.
Do these smell fresh to you? I scrubbed and I scrubbed.
Scrubbed with lemon and lovin'.
So that was my bizarre day.
That was it?
Well, I mean,
I didn't mean there needed to be more.
I was only halfway there. I was really terrified to get all the way out on the road.
Well, with Macaroni the Clown out there, it's scary. You,
a little scared. My friend tells
did
me.
Did he have a feather in his cap? Did he call it Macaroni?
My friend tells me that there's some Macaroni the Clown out in Port Jervis, New Jersey, New York. So maybe there is some sense to that. But I was
I'm sure Macaroni is a name that other clowns use.
I passed Rigatoni the Magician last week.
What'd you pass Limp Noodle the porn star the week before? Stupid.
Bring it, Sony.
You're saddled with assholes.
Yeah, well, we'll have to write some people out for the TV show. But what you gonna do?
We'll miss you.
Yeah. Good luck with that, Joe.
So, and also this week, my therapist, I got a call from another person at the place where she works. And my therapist all of a sudden became too ill to come back to work. And I'm like,
wow.
Yeah, and it's not the kind of thing that they tell you because, you know, there's this rule that you don't know anything personal really about them. They just ask you all, you know, delve into your brain. So I can't know why, what happened, or
let me ask you about this. You bring up a therapist.
Yeah.
A comic friend of mine goes to a therapist. I won't mention her name because it's doesn't matter. And she goes to a therapist, and she tells me the therapist wants to come see her perform. I think that's completely weird. Is that a breach?
It's weird because my therapist is She
I'm the only one without a therapist. I suck.
You'll have one soon enough. But she
thank you, Joe. You're nudging me there.
She goes to me one time. She goes, I you know, when you make your jokes, I don't laugh professionally, but some of the things you say is very humorous.
So she has been to your shows.
No.
They're all like, you know, Joe, we find this very funny. Yeah. But professionally, we feel it's wrong to laugh at you.
But, you know, yeah, but she would never go to a show or anything like
but
that.
But it would be weird.
It's a breach, kind of. It's weird.
You would be weird.
Yeah,
right?
It would be weird. I tell her, you know, when I'm performing and stuff like that, she never comes. You know, nobody else does. But no.
Then she's thinking, oh, he talked about that. You know, when you start like doing, when you like make the ha-has, she's thinking, oh, he talked. That's not how it turned out. It was much more tragic.
And the thing about it is with a therapist, I mean, you go on stage and you tell about yourself and you lay it out, you know, you lay it out there.
If you want to pass the comic strip in 1998, exactly. You do. Yeah.
But you lay it out there, you know, and there's somebody sitting there that really hears everything.
They're not buying a CD. They know the whole story.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. Over and over.
I think it's very odd that the therapist asked her if she could come and see her. Because, I mean, it's not untoward to ask the therapist. And they can say no because of confidentiality.
Right. If you're the patient, go, hey, I'd love for you to see me perform.
Yeah. And then
you can really see my neurosis in action. Yeah. I get that.
Yeah.
But for the therapist to be forward, go, hey, I'd really like to see you perform. I'm like, No, actually.
Because you told him very intimate,
you're
heavy
vulnerable.
Duty stuff.
I mean, it's a different type of vulnerability.
Dredging stuff out of yourself. Because basically, when you go to therapy, you're doing all the talking. And
yes.
You're bringing stuff out, and you're realizing stuff, and all this other stuff. So it's kind of, you know, awkward to have somebody there that's heard everything a lot of people might have not have heard.
Right.
You know, sitting in the audience. Not
I told him on Tuesday that wasn't funny.
Well, all right. I'm like, you know, and that's what happened. And it was his mother's fault. No.
That's not the punchline.
That's not the punchline. It's the reality. But
they don't need to know the root of this joke. Yeah. They don't need to know how the premise evolved.
Deep dark in my mind. They just want to eat chicken fingers.
People are shaking your hand afterwards. The therapist standing there. You know, you really shouldn't be very impressed. He reveals much more in therapy.
Yeah.
This was very superficial about what's really wrong with him.
Yeah. Yes. He really skipped the surface.
Great show, man. Thanks so much. You know, too much adulation is not good. It reinforces a negative feeling that you need approval too much. You don't want the therapist in a club. Stay home.
Yeah.
Joseph, why do you think the chicken crossed the road?
When he brings that one topic up, you shouldn't reinforce that.
Joseph, why the anger with ketchup?
Now,
is that from your mother?
Yeah. Did the Jews actually own the bar? Did you see a deed or anything like that?
Just analyzing, trying to get the bore down on every stupid joke.
My therapist actually forgot an appointment one time. So I go there, and it was an early one. It was 8 o'clock. And I'm like, nobody's there. So I leave a message. I go, hey, I believe we had an appointment at 8 o'clock. She calls me back. She goes, well, you can come in at 11. And I'm like, all right, so come at 11. And she goes, I'm so sorry. I go, don't worry.
Does your therapist talk like that?
No, it's a therapist voice.
That's a
therapist voice.
They talk in Muzak.
You'll see. Yeah, you'll see in a couple of years.
They all speak in soothing tones.
I've survived my family and my wife and kids, but you motherfuckers are going to be the reason.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, I've talked about you in therapy. So anyway, I was in therapy.
Sure you have. Why can't I be more like him? He's got his shit together. He seems so happy. Why?
Devin looked vaguely surprised. Why would you be?
No, I can imagine him talking because he's got anger issues and he displaces it onto other people.
But I get to the therapist. We reschedule at 11 o'clock that day. And she goes, I'm so sorry. And I go, no, it's fine. Well, you should feel upset about that. And I go, it's okay. I go, look, I work in the entertainment business. It happens all the time. But me not being there.
Oh, my God. I punched that therapist. You actually give a well-adjusted response and they're not happy.
Yeah.
I need
to get with this therapist. But we can talk about Joe.
But you being fine is like with everything else in your life that you're accepting. And that's, I'm like,
you're repressing it, Joe. Okay. And 6 years from now, you're going to punch a bitch in the face
because
I
canceled.
I
go, then don't charge me for this session. And we'll call you. Know, you feel bad. Oh, we can't do that. Then shut your face and start writing on your pad.
Yeah, now I'm mad. You happy?
Yes, that's what they wanted. They goad you.
Yeah, it's like, I'm in therapy because my therapist heckles my act, okay? That's weird.
But, you know, I played in a band for 30 years, in comedy. I'm used to, like, stuff not being there when I'm there, you know?
Punchlines.
Audience. acceptance. It is kind of interesting the way that the therapist will be like, not say like, oh, dude, I totally spaced. But they're like, does this bring up feelings of dejection, rejection, or abandonment? And it's like, Not everything is a federal case.
Yeah.
Not every
but they get paid by the federal case. The more federal cases you have, it's an addiction. It can be.
It can be.
And there are sometimes that I go there and I don't know what I'm going to talk about. It's like, go.
You didn't do therapist prep, Joe? Do I need to assign you work for that too, Joe? You have a meeting with your therapist on Wednesday. You need to talk about this, this, and this.
There are sometimes during the week I go, maybe I should write some stuff down. But you wind up going there and you wind up talking about. Sometimes you wind up talking about stuff you didn't even think you were going to talk about in the first place. Almost like the show without mics.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
more people listen to theirs. Piped in through the waiting room. Yeah, right. They have their own little internet show, The Couch.
The Couch.
Oh, Joe, we love his episodes. They're always dark and twisted.
Very twisted.
We're big fans of his mother and his father. Without them, he couldn't be this way. He's our favorite star.
Yes, actually, yes. Thank you, kudos.
Yes.
Nettie and Bob.
Oh, it's a Davin episode. Those are always full of piss and vinegar.
That one went about 40 minutes.
We're going to need more time.
I'm sorry, we have to end now.
Did it wind up with you throwing things?
No.
No? You didn't throw bananas and feces and all?
No.
I'm mad. So is there more to your therapist getting the Ebola?
Well, this is the weird thing is that, I mean, it's kind of strange because, you know, you're speaking to somebody and you know them for all these years, and then all of a sudden it's just, well, there's no closure, they're gone. In her particular case, this other therapist, whose name I'd heard and everything, I don't really know her, she said, yeah, I don't even think she's coming back to say goodbye. And I'm like, and you can't tell me what it is? Or it's like, oh.
It's confidentiality.
I know, but it's just really strange. Like, okay, done, bye.
She has an infected vagina. She won't be back. Would you rather you hear that?
Yeah, no.
Then you get the dry heaves.
I was sitting on that couch for 3 years with her vagina like that.
I always thought the room smelled musky, but I didn't know what it was.
I thought it was me. I was surreptitiously sniffing my pits.
But it is an abrupt end to a relationship.
It is.
Because even though it's a quote-unquote professional relationship, you've shared your most intimate feelings with this person.
Yeah, yeah.
I think maybe the therapist went deputy dog, because you got to think about it. All they do is hear people's problems all day.
Oh,
really? You know, I mean, because like, you know, it's like, there'll be like a family in before me and they're like, I'll be right with you, Joe. And the family go out, you know, and she's, come on in. And, you know, so, you know, she's probably hearing their shit. Now she's got to hear my
paying
shit.
Attention.
No, a lot of them go crackers because they listen to so much crazy shit.
That's what I'm thinking happened to yours.
No. Actually, she was really even on an even keel. Yeah, she was very rational.
Yeah, she seemed like such a nice therapist. Yeah. Always nodded, jotted things down.
We never saw it coming. Well, I mean...
That's where you're headed. The last thing we heard was, Helix! and then she came down with the axe to that nice family.
Yeah. Who'd have known? She could have killed us those days.
Now, let me ask you a question. Does your therapist know your real name or only know you as Pip Helix?
I have a third name for her.
Oh, do you? Well, I bet she's got a Facebook page, too.
Yes, she does.
Has anybody seen my marbles? Because I think I lost them.
Long time ago. Mm. Yeah. No, so this other person is like, well, I happen to be open. Do you want to come in and
they don't know
make
your
an
history.
No, well, I'm sure I have a file over there.
Oh, I guess. Yeah.
You know?
I guess
but I'm like,
it's
weird to me because I'm like, I never shopped for a therapist. I'm like, what do you do?
You
when
go on Yelp?
One just...
It's a Yelp thing.
Goes. Well, I mean, this is like a system, you know, so there's more than them in this practice than just the one.
You got to go to Yelp.
But I'm like, Yelp?
4 stars, they touch you. That's a win.
Also, I could get 2 services for the price of one?
Yeah. You go to Yelp, you see what, people are saying. I don't think he listened at all. He gets 1 star.
No, well,
Or go to Angie's List.
Well, I'm going to talk to this person and see.
Why? Because they're next up?
Kinda.
It's kind of weird.
That's how I got my last one. The other one.
So when you share your most intimate feelings and thoughts, you really don't do much research. But when you look for a car, you're spending weeks looking.
Because you're only spending an hour with the therapist. You're spending all day, every day with the car.
Yeah, but the therapist is trying to heal you. The car is trying to get you from point A to point B.
Hey, in our business, you might as well be crazy. You need to get to the gig.
She ain't in our business. She don't travel as much.
Yeah. How exactly... I don't.
Welcome to the confidence building point of the show.
She even lies about her car. She won't even tell us about her stupid bumper sticker. Look at that superficial bullshit relationship she's got with that car.
How do you feel about the car not being privy?
I'm not very close with my car.
The car honked. It said it was not happy that you wouldn't talk about it.
Waka waka. Wait a minute. Shush out there.
No, but I would think there. You can't. I would not be able to. I'm not good at sharing. You know, that type of thing anyway, but I would not be able to just go, all right, well, you're next up, you're here today, let's go.
Well, you got skeletons in your closet. You have to. Every comic has got skeletons in their closet.
I don't think my skeletons are like most people's skeletons.
Every comic, I
don't think that's true.
I never thought I was the comic with issues till about 3 years ago.
Well, you never asked me. You never asked your soon to be ex. She thought so. Those of us in the know knew.
Yeah, you really weren't looking for clues, were you?
Especially January 13th, 2013.
You were no Scooby-Doo, my friend, when it comes to super sleuthing. No, but I mean, you know, when it comes to, Jerry Seinfeld talks about, like, you know, comics are supposed to be angry and damaged, and Seinfeld said he came from a nice, happy family.
Yeah, and so he's like, you know, what's the matter with me?
Yeah, his father used to sell signs, and used to go visit my father-in-law, and Cal Seinfeld, who was very, you know, he seemed like a very nice guy, he was saying.
Yeah, so he seemed to overcome such a normal childhood. Yeah. I don't think you have to be messed up to be a good comic. I think it's a misnomer.
But I didn't say that we have to be messed up to be a good comic. I think a lot of comics, a majority, about 95%, are got a screw loose. I mean, I even wrote a blog, I think, last summer about
Well, then
that,
it's
that
real.
That all of us have a screw loose somewhere.
I don't think that's true. I mean, I'm sure Pip and I were actually talking about this before the show. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's something wrong with me. I just have not shut up. You were here, but no. But like
Joe was like, trying to get it out.
I don't. But I'm trying to think of the profound things in my childhood that you guys have shared on the show. Mm-hmm. I don't really have such a profound thing. I mean, we've talked about how religion was shoved down my face, mm-hmm. and how I kind of went in a different direction than that. But I don't think it really shaped me as a human being. Like, I don't think it really caused me.
I think you were repressed
I
think you were repressed as a child. I think you were repressed because on stage, I thought about this from last week. You know, he speaks out, he speaks his mind, he carries on and does all this stuff on stage. He's not afraid to say anything. You know, I think because you were in a very religious household that you were suppressed.
But
repressed.
I wasn't, because if that was the case, I was a free spirit then. Remember, I had hair down in the middle of the back. I dated a non-Jewish girl. I had an earring.
But I'm but that was in your later years. I mean, maybe earlier than that. Maybe when you were six.
I don't know. I was watching Bugs Bunny in my room when I wasn't supposed to be. Okay. I was pretty much acting out then too. I was pretending I was asleep so I didn't have to go to temple. No, I made my feelings quite known. All
right. So, Joe, it's just a matter of time.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Whatever's hidden in you.
But that's what
I glow in the dark skeletons.
Like repressed, you would think that because I am outspoken and everything. Yeah. But no, not really. I've kind of always been that.
I am,
but I'm shy.
Yeah.
I think maybe being the fat kid is probably why I'm shy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, because I was fat and I was self-conscious,
right?
And everything. That's probably why I'm shy,
right?
But you want to know something? I always felt myself. I was the person that people would come to for advice.
I was that person too.
I was very strong-willed. You know, I was very. I was, you know, very.
And I don't like it.
Very rational the way I think.
Really?
Yes.
When was this?
Believe it or not, a very rational way I think about things and how I go about my business and stuff like that. And
we must watch him in his natural habitat.
Right. But that kind of came to a grinding halt.
I'm going to watch that over panda screwing.
Definitely.
Who the hell cares about panda screwing? I want to see Joe be rational in day-to-day life.
I want to watch him in his natural habitat.
Joe, can we go to your plumbing work? Is there like a glass enclosure where you do your work from that we can stand and watch?
I think there is.
All right. Can we come there during feeding?
Yeah, I do work in what we call the pit. That's called the pit.
We need to make a day trip to Joe's day program. Yeah.
We do, and we're bringing popcorn. This will be fascinating.
Don't feed the animals. No, no.
No, I meant for us.
Oh, okay, yeah. We can't let any get in there. Joe will be distracted sniffing around the popcorn. That's not part of his diet.
I can just see that. You walk this order out to the desk and make sure it gets on the truck. We're fucked. All right.
Don't feed him, Joe. Joe's on a diet of plumbing pellets.
Yeah. I smell butter. Whose balls are those?
I don't know. But anyway, but they'll be the day. Because like I said, I thought I had it all figured out.
But nobody else did with you.
Really?
Not the ones who knew you. I mean, I didn't know.
The people that know me think.
They don't know you. I know you pretty much as well as anybody you've grown up with. Not every, pretty much. I know you pretty damn well. We've spent a lot of hours in the car together. You know,
the confessional booth.
What?
The confessional
booth. Yeah, we've hung out
a lot.
That's
what the car is.
I know you pretty well.
But up till about 3 years ago, I've always been pretty much, you know.
No, you have the illusion of being a nice person, and there are certain aspects of that to you. But there are. But now, I was surprised when you told the story a couple of weeks ago how you went to the concert and you threatened to kill that guy. I did not see that coming. The guy was like throwing popcorn at you, and you're like, I'm going to murder you?
Oh, yeah.
That I had not seen coming. So really, the therapy's working out well.
Well, we're not done yet.
I can't wait to see the end program.
Well, there was a time when I was with Chris Monty, who's a comic, and Mark Lund, who was a comic at the time. He owns the Governor's Club. So we were going out of Philly to work, and we're at the Verrazano Narrows Bridge. We're coming through the toll booth, and this woman would not let me pull in, and I'm like, lady, I'm looking, and then I flip. Now I've known these guys briefly. I look at the lady, I kill you, you merge over, I'll hide you in a fucking bushes.
And really, everybody was saying you're A-okay.
And Mark,
you hit it well, Joe.
And Mark wanted to Chris Martin, he'll still tell the story. He goes, yeah, I was screaming at it, and then I go, I gotta go back to those anger management classes. It was all common, right?
Yeah, but anybody who would see that go, he's not right.
I think why I do that is because I used to be bullied a lot as a kid, and I swore to myself that I would never let anybody push me around or bully me again. So when I get in a situation like that, I refuse to take it.
It was traffic, Joe.
Yeah,
it wasn't really. I don't think it was done to
somebody. Was not somebody was being a total bitch, and I just wanted to merge. I didn't want to go home with them. I didn't want to
comedy. Everybody knows you as a nice guy, and we've talked about it because you take so much more shit than you should.
You
do get bullied sometimes.
And I'll take it because of the nature of the business. The reason
I don't think so. The
reason I snapped at the Billy Joel concert is we have to deal with people like that when we're working on stage, and you have to be nice. You can goof on, but you can't. And they get to you. They ruin a show. They do this, and you always go, and then I have to deal with it when I'm not on the clock.
Right.
And he's going to walk away with a boot up his ass. And that's why I snap like that, because you know what? I have to deal with it now at a con. No, it stops now.
Yeah.
And that's why I was like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I understand that. I have this like under the surface rage, but it only comes out.
You only take it out on the slaves on the plantation.
No, it only comes out when there's something really awful, and then all of it comes out
like at a bill at Andiamo.
Oh, that's great! That's great! Yeah, that's a perfect example.
They're not paying for their Coke. No, not on my watch.
I want my $5 like the newspaper boy in Better Off Dead.
Yes.
Yeah, see, that's not, like, I generally, now I get in bad moods, but usually it's because I'm overtired. Like a kid, like I know I need to take a nap.
Yeah.
And if I take a nap, I'm better. But I generally, like I'll sometimes get in a bad mood, but everybody does.
Mm-hmm.
But I generally don't snap like that. I mean, if I get pushed enough, you don't want to mess with me.
I think the funniest time with Davin, I watched Davin's mood change on a dime, is when we got back from Michigan, the first time we toured on Michigan. We get home. I just dropped him. Well, I drove, and I'm driving home.
The way it should be.
And I call him about 20 minutes later. I go, Davin, yeah, Joe, what is it? And I go, you left your phone in my truck. Joe, oh, man. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And he goes, just mail it to me. I go, dude, you need your phone. I'm coming. No, you don't have to. I go, I'm coming back, dude. You need your phone.
What a nice display of kindness by Mr. Curry.
Yeah, I know.
But he was like, yeah, Joe, what is it?
I was tired.
But that's, I'm just giving an example of how you are if you're tired.
But no, I mean, where I'm snap. Like, I'll actually feel myself go, I need a nap.
Yeah,
it's
because
somebody's going to get bitten in the ass, and they don't deserve it.
Yeah. No, it's true.
But I don't really think I have these. Do you think I have skeletons in the closet that I'm unaware of?
I don't really.
No.
I was teasing you.
No, I'm asking. I don't know. You guys hang out with me enough.
Yeah,
you'll discover
no, I don't.
It might hit you more as you get older.
Enough things are hitting me as I'm getting older.
Yeah, but I
know.
But I'm telling you, sometimes, a lot of times, there's some things, like we were discussing last week. I mean, not to the extent of what we were discussing last week. There's some things that you think that happened to you as a kid or happened to you in life that didn't bother you, but you repress. And sometimes it comes back, and it's like you get depressed as you get older. It gets, you got another 10 years to go. I'm telling you, I got great. 10 years up on you.
Countdown so, to snapping.
Here we are.
No, I really don't think that. I think that there are some comedians, an awful lot of comedians that something happened to them, or just funny people in general, that they use as a coping mechanism because of the things that happen to them.
I definitely use humor as a diffusing a coping mechanism.
Well, right, but not for the same, like, deranged, twisted reasons
No, I'm not trying to get what happened to me out there, you know, to heal. Because I don't even talk. I don't talk about wife. I don't talk about kids. I really don't talk about family.
Yeah.
I'm much more topical and in the moment than I am. And that's the way I look at it. And I try to be optimistic looking forward.
Right.
And I'm surrounded, like, my family's pessimistic because they're Jews and Jet fans.
That's the answer.
But it is. And I come from that, but I try to be optimistic. Like, no, things are going to be okay. Mm-hmm. It'll work out. You know. Listen, I'm also realistic. I know I'm a Jet fan, so it won't. But I come from very pessimistic stock. But I've always been different than everybody else in my family.
Yeah.
See, me, I just have come from always having the rug pulled out under me. So that's what I've been used to since I was six, having the old rug pulled out from under me. So I'm like, that's why I'm the way I am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and it's...
If they would have gotten him wall-to-wall carpeting, he'd be a nicer person.
But it is a self-comedy, you know, a lot of... Because I was on Anthony's show. I actually was on... Ant's show on Thursday. They were kind enough to have me on. They had Joe, Ant's brother Joe, obviously Ant, and Ant's sister Dawn.
I saw the pictures
of
that.
And it was like the family show, and they invited me, you know, when I got there, they invited me right on, because I've known him for 35 years. But when Ant was talking about a sense of humor, he was talking about it as a self-defense mechanism for what him and Joe and Dawn went through. And then when I got on, and I was thinking about that when I was listening to it in the car, and then when I got there, I kind of reiterated, I go, at least for me, comedy is a self-defense mechanism, mm-hmm. you know, because basically my dad died when I was a kid, I had to grow up really quick, my mom had to go to work, now I'm home alone, now, and the only thing that keeps you going is your sense of making, like, your imagination.
Yeah.
Inviting imaginary friends when you're lonely.
You had imaginary friends?
Yes.
I didn't have imaginary friends.
Yes. And
I guess. Did you have imaginary friends?
No.
You know, and you had that, and you made characters up to entertain yourself. TV babysat you.
Yes.
And you would learn to like throw humor in the face of really nasty stuff, you know? And I mean, like I said, my dad died, you know, committed suicide. The child services tried to take me one time. But, you know, all this stuff is happening, and mm-hmm. you need something to keep you there. You can't drink. You can't do that. And sense of humor was your self-defense mechanism. Just because when you laugh at something, it takes the sting out of it.
Well, it's, you know, we always said laugh or cry. Yeah. You know, and there were always like... You know, the pervasive sadness and things going on in my house.
Yeah.
So it's like we developed this dark sense of humor that we would laugh at the sickest stuff, because it's like laugh about it or cry about
it. My dad had a sick sense of humor. Like he would tell street jokes, but all like street jokes like involve somebody dying, like when Rock Hudson died or Kennedy died or something. Those were the jokes. My mom would not like those jokes. My dad be sitting at the table during dinner telling those jokes.
Death hilarious.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah.
And I do have a dark sense. As I've progressed in comedy, my sense of humor has gotten darker and darker. But like somebody asked, well, we were talking about somebody. I put a joke up on Facebook, which I didn't get a huge reaction on Facebook, nor on the show on Friday. But I said, you know, so many black people are getting shot that FUBU is making Kevlar now.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I think that's a funny joke.
Yes.
And what's FUBU?
It's a
designer or a clothing wear, like
for African Americans.
That they really favor.
Yeah, it's for us bias. It's made by African Americans. Yes. Yeah, it's a funny joke. Nothing. I mean, it sat there on Facebook. It sat there live. I'll do it one more time. But I'm not done with it and everything. But she's like, well, I think that's too far. I'm like, I don't think so. She's like, but would you do a raped baby joke? I'm like, if I could make it funny enough. Well, I mean, I haven't wanted to talk about that yet, and I haven't found the way to make it funny, but if I could, sure.
I saw your bucket list, and it's right there on the top. Oh, damn it.
You know what? I probably could. If I really sat down and thought about it, I believe in myself.
Please don't make your life mission perfecting the rape baby joke, okay? Just for me. Don't make that your life work.
I don't live in shackles. I can't make promises. No, but I mean, whatever. All right, you know what? Let's do some more comedy stuff. Let's take our break. We'll do some more comedy stuff when we come back. We'll do some comics in the news. You're listening to Davin's Den. We'll be back in a few.
You can listen to Davin's Den live every Tuesday on davinsden.com, iHeartRadio, The Indie Authority, RuthlessRadio.fm, TalkSuperStation.com, CyanNetRadio.com, Gone Rogue Radio, HawkRadio.net. Also, you can download the TuneIn app on your Apple or Android device and search for Davin's Den. On iHeartRadio, you will find all of our shows, plus customized highlights of us scamming the scammers, going back to the very beginning of our interactions with our African friends. Go to iHeart.com and search Davin's Den. The Indie Authority also has apps so you can listen live on your mobile devices. Platforms include BlackBerry, Android, and Apple. You can download previous shows from the following places: DavinComedy.com, DavinsDen.com, Stitcher.com, iTunes, the Android app, iHeartRadio, RuthlessRadio.fm, TuneIn.com. iHeart can only be heard in the U.S.